Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Cesar Chavez. I know this one is painful to talk about, but we must always face cancellation with a brave face and a stiff upper lip. Remember what your earliest childhood lessons taught you. There is joy in cancellation because the costlier the loss, the more purifying the virtue signal becomes. And we must always let our virtue signal light shine strong and bright. Don't put it under a bushel. Putting the joy of self-righteousness over everything else. In this case, despite all his work to improve the plight of the agricultural worker, the undocumented, and the humanity of our Hispanic brethren, sister, and anotherin, it has recently come to light that Cesar Chavez was a very bad person who repeatedly sexually abused the women he was tasked with protecting. As our purest of pure scripture writers at the New York Times, Manny Fernandez and Sarah Huertas, explained, several women have now verified that in the 1970s, Chavez sexually abused them when they were underage and he was in the 40s and the height of his power and his influence in the United Farm Workers. Interviews with more than 60 people, plus records, emails, photos, and meeting minutes indicate that the pattern was far more widespread than even what the first two women to come forward, Anna Mergula and Deborah Rojas, have said. Dolores Huerta, a longtime ally of Chavez's, says she was raped by him in 1993 and fathered two of her children. And it appears that the union covered this up for years in order to protect their power and his legacy in the immigrant and labor movements. The UFW now has said that the allegations are shocking, indefensible, and being taken seriously, even as they are canceling all Cesar Chavez Day activities next week this year. But this is just another reminder that men are the problem and cannot be trusted. Even when they seem to be doing good, 15th wave feminism teaches that they are only doing it to appear good and to gain power, which they'll always abuse. The only men whom we haven't dethroned in this way are the ones whose sins simply haven't yet been uncovered. So what should we do now? First, let's recognize how swiftly the woke community is acting to reshape our world in the wake of these new disclosures. Parents of students at Cesar Chavez Dual Spanish Immersion School in Hyattsville, Maryland, are already pushing to change the name of the school. Leaders in the Santa Ana United School District have acted even faster, covering up the public-facing signage at Cesar Chavez High School as they begin the formal process of considering a new name. Cesar Chavez Day organizers in Grand Junction, Colorado, have renamed the event as Si Se Puede Celebration, and the California Assembly has already passed an emergency bill to rename the activist's birthday March 31st from Cesar Chavez Day to Farm Workers Day. And all we can say is scrub, baby, scrub. Disavow, rename, unbrand, cover over, and pretend he never existed. There's nothing like deconsecrating a hero, and fast, that proves our loyalty to the basic principles of our faith and the holy sacrament of swift, decisive, comprehensive cancellation. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, we want to take a moment to celebrate Target for helping lead the way on food purity and dietary purification, one of our top 87 most important sacraments. Target recently announced that they would no longer sell breakfast cereals that contain synthetic colors such as red dye number 40, yellow 5 and 6, blue 1 and 2, and green 3. This means that several highly popular children's cereals will be removed from the shelves, including Apple Jacks, where the only apple is in the name, Fruit Loops, which legally have to be spelled F-R-O-O-T to avoid confusing people into thinking they contain any actual fruit, Lucky Charms, there's nothing lucky about diabetes, and Cap'n Crunch, often inaccurately referred to as Captain Crunch, but if you read the label, it's clearly Cap'n Crunch, a marketing decision that stems from the 1975 scandal and the revelations that Horatio Magellan Crunch was never actually in the Navy and hadn't even risen above the rank of third mate on the SS Guppy, the ship he claims to have skippered. In any case, this is all wonderful news, as these so-called breakfast cereals not only contain the aforementioned artificial colorings, but of course, they are the very embodiment of everything that's wrong with the diet of American children. Sugar-centric, highly processed, low in fiber, and carefully marketed with exciting colors and captivating characters such as Toucan Sam, Lucky the Leprechaun, and the aforementioned Cap'n, not a Captain. For those of you who have been with us since 2020, you may even recall Apple Jacks had a mascot itself, which was the subject of a prior cancellation, as the official spokes them, a dark-barked talking cinnamon stick with a Rastafarian beanie and dreadlocks and an offensively stereotypical Jamaican accent.
Here I come, I am Sydney man. Here I come, I am Sydney man. Here I come, I am Sydney man. Here I come, I am Sydney man.
Yes, that was their brand ambassador for 16 years. Now, it might be true that even with the steel drums, Jamaicans actually speak like this Cinnamon character, but that's no reason to appropriate their dialect in this way. So Applejacks eventually sanitized Cinnamon and put him in mascot jail. Surely we are all painfully aware of the similarly offensive appropriation of Irish culture made with Lucky the Leprechaun, featuring his stingy fixation on his gold, his infantilizing brogue accent, and his absurdly reductivist green leprechaun suit. About the only way they didn't insult the Irish was by having Lucky be a drunkard, which at least might have made him a more believable gold-defending rascal. But thinking about Lucky does bring up another concern, and I think it's time we address the tropical bird in the room, Toucan Sam. Now, certainly we recognize that Toucan Sam, and to a lesser degree Lucky, are ambassadors of our people. People of the holy acronym string, or as we like to say, rainbow folk. Sam with his beak and Lucky with his actual rainbow of frosted Lucky Charms that he says are, you know, magically delicious.
Frosted Lucky Charms!
They're magically delicious.
Well, other than a rainbow of fruit flavors, if a magically delicious leprechaun isn't code for being queer, I don't know what is. Nevertheless, having a pride bird and a pride miniature ginger is not enough in either case to save these cereals of color from our condemnation. And that's sort of the point. Here we see that removing these foods reinforces the basic premise of our religion, finding teeny tiny cultural issues whose significance we can over-exaggerate and then feel an inflated sense of pride at eradicating so that we can pat ourselves on the back. That's our thing, baby. So getting rid of four kinds of artificially colored sugar death treats for children while leaving the vast majority of harmful dietary options on the shelves is an almost textbook perfect virtue signal. Well done, Target. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, this week's Hemp Tambourine Award Extra Patchouli Oil 3 Nose Rings goes to University of California at Santa Barbara Assistant Professor of Sociology Jamie O'Quinn. During a recent discussion on transgender athletes and women's sports at the State University Board of Trustees meeting, O'Quinn, a noted feminist scholar and rainbow rights activist, finally had enough of the transphobia and absurdity of the cisgender people she was disagreeing with and said this.
And the idea that I have to get up here and say that trans women are women and that's what I have to use my time to do is absurd. Shame on you. Shame on all of you. And shame on you for using lesbian politics as a front for your transphobia, because this lesbian has had plenty of girlfriends with penises.
Amen. And now you understand why we're giving her this award for correctly calling out the transphobia in the room. She may not get a lot of extra credit. That's a given for anyone who considers themselves a practitioner of holy acronym string orthodoxy. But it was that last line.
Because this lesbian has had plenty of girlfriends with penises.
To so boldly and bravely and matter-of-factly state the truth that's as plain as the bulge in her skirt, she's had plenty of girlfriends with penises. Not one, not two, but plenty. Yes, it's time to stop apologizing for the obvious truth that men can have vaginas and women can have penises, a core tenet of our faith that even we sometimes feel awkward to say out loud. But for some of you newer novitiates, perhaps a bit of an explanation is in order. You see, there are vagina people and there are penis people. But of course, this has absolutely nothing to do with being female or male, woman or man, feminine or masculine. Those are terms which are either self-chosen, culturally constructed, or even utterly meaningless, depending on the context. Let's consider just four of the most basic categories. Category one, a person with a vagina and XX chromosomes who identifies as a woman is, of course, a woman in a woman's body. Category two, a person with a vagina and XX chromosomes who identifies as a man is just as much, of course, a man, even though he has a woman's body. Because gender identity is a mind truth, not a body truth. He's a man in a woman's body. So simple. Category three, a person with a penis and XY chromosomes who identifies as a man in a man's body. If you're following the pattern, he's also responsible for all the problems in the world, of course. And category four, a person with a penis and XY chromosomes who identifies as a woman is a woman. And truth be told, that's the very highest form of womanhood because it's chosen rather than inherited. This woman is a man's body and is really the bravest kind of woman because she had to emerge from this transphobic culture and overcome the oppression of her body to be revealed like the glorious phoenixress she is, rising from the ashes of post-colonial white male supremacy culture. We really love cisgender women, but we extra super duper really love transgender women for the fact that they have rejected their manhood, even if they kept it, and have embraced the feminine identity of our holy gender anarchy. Praise Gaia. These penis-born individuals should definitely not be held captive to the fact that they happen to have been born vagina deficient. So well done, you plain-talking lesbian assistant professor. You've earned every last one of your ceremonial nose rings this week. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.